Hi, today is March 28th, 2020, and this is Tyler Gossowar with my friend Jay Stone. And this is Comic Views Podcast 110. It's the first one we've done in a month and a half, and boy, has a lot of stuff changed in the last month and a half. And so, with no surprise, one of our topics is going to be COVID-19 and comics. Because you might.
This is the pandemic edition.
The pandemic edition of Comics Views Podcast. Absolutely.
Even our small podcast with our fives of viewers.
Yep.
Covering COVID-19.
Yeah. Because what else is there to talk about? Really? Right?
That's right.
And so I looked it up. And on February 15th, when we recorded Movies Podcast 109, there were 67,000 cases of COVID-19 worldwide. That's on February 15th. So. Approximately a month and a half ago. I checked today, 663,000. So just shy of 10 times the number of cases in, 40 some odd days, right?
Are not a two.
Yep.
At least.
So, unless the curve flattens 10 times in another 40 some odd days, that's 6 million cases. Let's hope that does not happen. I repeat, let's hope this does not happen. We are not doomsday fans at all. Fans of fiction, but not fans in real life. At least that's for me. So, and Jay brought up this topic about COVID-19 and comics. It didn't even occur to me. I mean, of course, the only thing we think about these days is COVID-19 and the novel coronavirus. But I really didn't think about how it affects comics. So when Jay brought it up, I said, I want to hear what you have to say. So, because I hadn't really thought about it, except that maybe, and I buy everything digitally, right? So, I have DC Universe and I have Comixology. So I don't go to comic book stores anymore. Sorry to say, I know you should support local businesses and stuff. But so what's going on, Jay? You've been reading about this. How does this affect the comics industry?
Oh, well, the local specialty market, really bad.
Been bad for a long time, right?
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? Most of them are small businesses. Some comic book stores are just run by one guy.
Right.
I mean, that's his only business.
Right.
And the stimulus package didn't really give a lot of relief to some businesses, especially comic book stores. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you do see, it's even affecting like India. When India had a lockdown, their app usage for comic books actually skyrocketed. I mean, it just went up like 200% or something. And in the U.S., there were a couple articles, one on MSN.com, one on Newsarama.com, and the specialty market was already pretty tenuous,
mm-hmm.
Because of the decline of the popularity of physical comic books. So a lot of them are having a really hard time. Some are closing. There's issues with is any of the product returnable?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think Image Comics came out and said that they were going to do something. Marvel Comics came out and said they were going to do deep discounts. DC hasn't said what they're going to do. But they're coming up with a plan. So I think Image, the biggest comic book, publishers, I think Image was the best one. I believe it said, I'd have to confirm, but I believe it said that they were going to allow returnable items or have a lot of, allow products to be returnable. I'd have to look at this article to make sure that it was, that's the case. And I know Marvel is not making them returnable, but making discounts.
Okay.
So that, a lot, if people don't understand, a lot of like comic book stores, the price is set. It's on, it's like the MSRP.
Right.
It's actually on the comic, right? And so comic book stores order the comics, they're delivered to their stores.
Mm-hmm.
And some publishers allow some product to be returnable.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea for that is so that the comic stores will order a lot and then hopefully they'll get sold off.
Right.
So it's a gamble for the publishers too, to make them returnable. I mean, just in a normal market. So, it's looking pretty dire, for a lot of comic book stores, physical stores.
Sure.
In the US, I mean, even other realms, they shut down for business. They're closed,
mm-hmm.
right? Not an essential business.
Sure.
I don't know, though, if I could call other realms and make an arrangement to pick up my comics.
Right, right.
Or email them. I know some comic book stores on the mainland are doing those kind of innovations, like email the comic store, make an appointment, and you can come pick up your product. Because the store is still receiving product.
Right.
They just can't have people in the store.
Right, right.
So
it's kind of like Starbucks, where you can't, you just do a mobile order or something, or drive-through.
Yeah, so curbside pickup.
Yeah.
Some comic book stores are in curbside pickup. You email them, the owner or whoever at the store, get the email, you make an arrangement, come pick up your comics, exchange the payment somehow, you know. Some comic book stores are doing a mail order or shipping. Like they'll ship it to you, even though it's local.
Wow, that must be expensive.
It must be, but I mean, I'm sure there has to be some sort of arrangement. Right. I mean, I don't recall the article I read didn't go into a lot of details. It was just like, how are comic book stores coping
right
with these events? There's been talk about Free Comic Book Day going all month in May, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I heard that, and then I heard that it wasn't going to go, a full month in May. So there's different initiatives that are being done to try and, retain some kind of business, because a lot of stores have a small staff. Other realms doesn't have a lot of staff.
Right, right, right.
People all the time. So it's not just the owners. It's the people who work there, and you get to know them, right? I mean, I don't know their names per se, but I mean, I see them every, when I go pick it up and
what
are you doing? And
right.
You don't have that kind of thing in a lot of places anymore. Comic book stores are kind of one of the few places where, people can gather and you can get to know the owner. I mean, I don't as much, cause I don't go as often as I used to, because they moved and it wasn't as convenient for me. So I go very rarely. I just pick up a whole bunch, like 3 months at a time. But also a lot of comic stores do, they got into the gaming market, right? Role-playing games.
Right.
And so they have, a Magic the Gathering, kind of thing.
Right.
And like the Realms has, multiple places where people can game, and now you don't have that opportunity. So there's all this product, more than just comics, right? There's comics, there's, figurines, dolls, there's the role-playing, there's toys. There's all kinds of products at a comic book store that people may not even think of. There's clothing, a lot of times, shirts, maybe hoodies, posters, keychains, wallets. There's all kinds of things, all branded, and all that product is just kind of, it's not moving anymore because of what's happening.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, in order to get to it, right? That's why some comic book stores are willing to ship the product to the customer, because some places you can't leave. You're not supposed to, except for essential things, right?
Yeah.
A comic book store is not essential. It's not a bank, right? It's not your bank. It's not some kind of, like a lawyer or counter or some kind of special professional service. It's not a supermarket. It's not a takeout place, not a restaurant, and there are penalties in different places, if you violate the orders, even here, what is it? A misdemeanor in Hawaii? If it's a misdemeanor or like a $5,000 fine, 1 year potential or something. I mean, if the police officers or the law enforcement enforce it, they have that power now. Right. So, and people shouldn't be going out that much anyway. Unless they have to do something. I mean, that's the safer thing at this point. So it's kind of, I mean, it's pretty sad. I mean, I read some of the articles that I posted to our notes, and really this one guy, if I get sick, I have to close the store because I'm the only worker. It's my store.
Hmm.
I mean, that sucks. I mean, that really sucks.
So the short story is, a lot of places aren't going to survive if this goes on much longer, and it appears it will.
Oh, it's not gonna. People aren't gonna survive. More stores will close. I mean, a lot of stores have been closing for decades now, and even more stores will close. But I mean, this is like the nail in the coffin, and I feel for everyone. But it's also been a changing market, with the advent of Comixology. other comic book apps online, the ability for, I mean, creators can publish their comics on their own website, have for years, and offer to their customers directly or their fans directly. So it's a really difficult kind of business.
Yeah, and you know that's true. It's true of so many small businesses, I think, you know, comics or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really tough. It's going to be really tough for everybody. And it's and not to be glib about it, but you know, I was just thinking, I can't get my hair cut.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's little things, but you know, it's meaningful. It's meaningful to somebody. It's somebody's business.
Oh yeah, I mean. The barber down the street, the stylist,
yep.
Supercuts. I mean, the people who work at some of these places. I'm not saying everyone, but I mean, let's be honest, they're not high paying jobs.
No.
You know, I mean, the people maybe living paycheck to paycheck or even less than that, right? May have to work multiple jobs.
Sure, especially in Hawaii.
So, oh yeah. So I mean, I was talking to my family. I said, look, this is transformative as a society. It's unbelievably transformative that people in this country have not seen for such a long time.
Yeah.
It goes across every demographic. It goes across, you know, all classes, all races. COVID doesn't care who you are.
Yep, true.
Doesn't care who you are, doesn't care, you know. It doesn't even care how old you are. People go, oh, I'm young, I'm not going to get it. I mean, that's not true. Anyone can get COVID. It's just a matter of the severity of the symptom.
Well, even that may not be true anymore. You know, and I'm not a medical professional, but I've been reading that, you know, there have been more reported cases of young people having very severe symptoms.
Yes. Depends on the person. And the thing is, what, you know, people go, oh, I'll get it and I'll get better. And then, you know... it's only people with pre-existing conditions, or it's people who have suppressed, you know, immune systems. But I mean, read a lot of the data, read a lot of the articles, you know. And I talked to my daughter who's in pharmacy, and her, I mean, she's, you know, trying to keep up with it. And it's like, some people will have permanent lung damage, permanent. They'll have fibrosis for the rest of their life, you know. And I worry about my children because they have respiratory issues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They both have asthma.
Yep, as many people do.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have asthma.
Yep.
It's very common. And it's like, I mean, I remember when my children were, their asthma was really bad when they were very young. And
mm-hmm.
I was so afraid because literally my daughter could not breathe. We would have to rush her to the hospital, get her, you know, albuterol.
Yep, yep.
You know, to you know, really... help her. I mean, it took so long for the maintenance therapy to really improve her lung function. So it's, I mean, when I see people just, anyone just kind of like be very flippant or dismissive of the potential of the disease and its ramifications upon our entire society. I mean, like, we're just talking about comic books, right?
Yep.
So yeah, you have a comic book, right? How does the comic book get to you? Shipped? By mail, put in a truck, right? Or shipped to you, right? So that's delivery services, mail services, right? There's the comic book industry themselves, right? So it's the printer, right? The writer, the inker, the letterer, the editors, the executives, right? It's the people who make, you know, the toys, right? Yeah, I mean, it's for fun. It's entertainment. It's not essential. But that translates into, it's someone's livelihood. It's someone's job. You know, and it's the more I think about it, this whole crisis is so transformative for our global society. It will leave an imprint that people won't even understand for decades to come. Because
yeah, it'll be like the Great Depression.
Oh yeah. I mean, think of it, right? You get it. You're young, right? You get it. You get some lung damage, but not so much that it, you know, really bothers you so much. But as you get older, right, it gets harder for you.
Yep.
It's not now, right? It's 30 years from now, 40 years from now, when you're much more elderly, or even in the decades spanning that you become more susceptible to other diseases.
Yep.
Right? It's yeah, you can get immunity, but your immune system takes a hit, and there's no guarantee that your immune system will fully, absolutely recover to 100% of its efficacy or efficiency than it was prior to getting the disease. It's frightening. It's really frightening. You know, I mean, even in our own house, I see, step away, stay over there. No, I tell, yeah. Don't come to my room. You don't need to. I can hear you. You can talk loudly enough and I can hear you. We can call. We can do FaceTime. We don't let our children touch any of our food because they came from the mainland. Stay over there. We will bring it to you. We will put it here. You go get it. You bring it here. We'll put it in and then we'll wash it, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm 49. My wife is around my age, right? And you read reports that people my age are going into ICU.
Yep.
You know? I mean, that's like, what? You know? That's like really scary. And I've been watching YouTube videos of people who have it.
Mm-hmm.
And not like Idris Elba. He has it, but he doesn't have a lot. He doesn't have symptoms. He feels good.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk to people who have it and have the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like painful. Can't even walk up like a full flight of stairs. It's debilitating, you know? Imagine if you had to do that and you lived completely alone. How would you survive? What would you do? You know? It's just, I don't know. I mean, just talking about, you know, the effect upon comic book stores just shows the wide-ranging impact.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the point of this discussion, you know? It's just,
oh, yeah.
It's not something I had thought about until you brought it up, you know? You brought it up and I said, gee, I never thought about that. I mean, it's obvious it's affecting everything, but I hadn't thought about one of my favorite hobbies and how it affects it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the articles I posted in our notes, I mean, Image is going to do returnable. Marvel's going to do discounts. DC doesn't know. But they're also going to do staggered releases.
What's a staggered release?
So, like, if it's a new release and they were going to do, like, they have new comics coming out, right? Say they want to publish 10 comics at one time.
Okay.
Right? Maybe they won't do it all 10 at one time.
Okay.
They'll stagger it throughout the year.
Yeah.
So that the returnability of the product, right? Ah. There's some stabilization of returnability. So right, you flood the market with product, right? And there's just not enough demand. What happens is it doesn't just hurt the retail store. It hurts the publisher because of it. If they can't sell the product, right, then the store goes away and they can't get product out.
Yeah.
Or if they have returnability already have returnability clauses in their
right.
in their arrangement and they return all the product, then the publisher loses out. So some of the publishers, more the smaller ones and more independent ones, are looking at, okay, we're going to release things, but we're going to release them kind of more slowly over the year, right? And then maybe that will allow for a more stable level returnability so they can predict it a little bit better versus it being like a huge spike, you know? So, I mean, some people are making it only returnable for a couple months and then reassess. Some people are saying for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends, right?
Interesting.
You know, even Diamond Comics distributors is saying, you know, if you have to shelter in place, your account will be on hold. What does, right? Your business is shut down.
Hmm.
You can't get product. Hmm. How do you survive?
Yeah.
I mean, basically the comic book specialty stores, they order the product shows up and you sell it. But if you have a shelter in place order, and then I'm not saying Diamond Comics is not doing what they should be doing.
Right.
They're saying, okay, we'll put it on hold for now, but then now you don't have product, and then Diamond Comics distributors can't give you the product. Everyone's losing. So, I mean, the people who in comic industry, the people who are going to win are the people who embraced newer technology earlier. Online ordering. Shipping. I figure someone like Mahoy Comics in New York City,
yeah,
if they're still operating, could still, you know, move product, right? They could move books. Because I buy from them all the way from New York City because I can't find things here sometimes.
Right.
Right? I have an account with them. Or there are other comics stores that have, you know, some kind of a, you know, online purchase system. and they've developed a way to ship things to their customers. And then probably people who really love comics are going to flock to Comixology. And once you do that, unless you want that physical comic, like me, I prefer the physical comic. Although I've cut back a lot in recent months because of DC Universe. I mean, unless you want that physical collector's item,
yeah,
Comixology is amazing.
Yeah. Although you swore off it, right? I think after Amazon bought it.
Yes, I did. However, I have broken it maybe 5 times in the last six months.
Oh, okay.
And that was because I could not get my hands on Naomi number one.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't get a certain Justice League issue in my pull list.
Right.
And there was Bendis's Superman run.
Right.
When Legion came out, when Legion was in Superman.
Right.
I was like, I have to get that. So I've broken it and several times. But other than that, I haven't. And I'm relying now more upon DC Universe because they post everything. Eventually, they'll post almost every comic they've ever published.
Yeah, I think 1 year after publication for new stuff, and they're catching up a lot on the old stuff. I'm still waiting for House of Mystery, I think, to get to the 1960s Dial H for Superhero. I don't think it's quite got there yet.
No, it hasn't. But, I mean, it's amazing what DC is doing and putting all that stuff, content online. And their digital reader has improved.
Yeah.
Still not as good as Comixology.
No,
but it
not
has.
Even close.
Yeah, it's not even close. But, you know, I already pay for it, so.
Yeah, I hear you. Me too. Same feeling. And speaking of DC, you know, moving to topic number two.
Oh, yes. Our second topic.
Yeah. Is DC Comics doomed? I mean,
who knows? Who knows? I mean, I sent you that article in March, right? Early March.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I sent you the articles when the rumors first started going around from September, October last
year. I remember that.
Right? And then they had some when Dan DiDio
got
fired.
Right.
Or left. Did he get fired? Did he leave? Did he quit? Word is he got fired. When that happened, they were like, in February of this year, it was like, oh, what's going to happen? Oh, they're going to sell it. They're going to sell it, license or sell it to Marvel.
Right.
Or they're only going to keep the movies or whatever. I tend to agree more with that most recent article that you had sent me. That was like an investor.
Right. The Motley Fool.
Website. Investor analysis. Yep. I think it makes more sense for them to retain all rights.
Right. Which is what I've been hearing.
Yeah, because that just seems so foolish. I mean, did you see the recent article of who the most popular superhero in America is?
No, I didn't see that.
I saw the title. I didn't read the article.
Yeah.
But I saw this the title of the article that the most popular superhero, I don't know how they figured this out, is still Superman.
I believe that.
I believe it too, but I was surprised that it wasn't Spider-Man.
Oh.
Spider-Man was like number two, or he was like right behind.
Yeah,
because
true.
I mean, I don't collect Spider-Man, and I never really liked how he quips and everything, but Spider-Man's cool. I mean, flat out. I mean, he's really cool. I mean, he's a wonderful character, and he appeals to many, many people.
And many, many age groups.
Oh, yeah. Especially now with, you know, Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the best movies ever made, this...
Spider-Man Homecoming?
No. The cartoon...
Oh, Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh my God. I saw that. My family didn't want to see it. I said, no, you got to see this. I heard it's just amazing. You got to see it. And I saw that. And I swear to me, of all, except for like Captain America, First Avenger, or Captain America, Winter Soldier, which I saw recently because it's on Disney Plus, Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And finally, my wife got to see it again or really see it. She never really watched it. So she saw it and she was like, wow, this is pretty good. Or like the second Spider-Man, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, Spider-Man 2. I love Into the Spider-Verse. That movie was one of the best films, bar none. Just one of the best films I've ever watched, let alone a comic book film. It was just so well. I want to see more of them. I can't wait to make another one. I mean, you know, they did the Garfield Spider-Mans. Now they have the Tom Holland ones, which are much better.
Yes, I agree.
Into the Spider-Verse, that's... how Spider-Man should be. That was just so wonderful. It was a joy to watch. Just a delight.
Yeah. Well, getting back to DC, though, so...
Yes.
Your thoughts? Think DC's going to go anywhere?
Nah.
You don't think
nah.
so?
I mean, I think it's such a... You know, when you look at the analysis from the investor...
Yeah.
No, I do think they may transform how it's done. I think they may transform how much they publish.
Yeah, I was thinking they should scale back some.
Yeah, one thing I thought was interesting was the investor talked about how traditional comic books aren't selling too well, but graphic novels are.
Yeah.
And if you notice, DC, unlike Marvel, they started their initiative into those original graphic novels of different ages.
Yes.
With well-renowned writers. And they give not a lot of them. Not all of them, but the ones I've read about in terms of the reviews, a lot of them are getting very good reviews. I'm just not willing to buy them myself because I like the more traditional ones.
Right.
But those type of that product is not geared to me. If I mean, love or hate Dan DiDio. I remember when New 52 came out, and I remember him talking about how dire the comic book industry was. I mean, not talking about movies, just the publishing side, right? How there were so few customers, the market is shrinking, the industry is shrinking, right? I mean, it was like, why did they do something so drastic? It was like, it's like a do or die time. How do you get more interest in people in that medium? And if that investor is right, maybe DC has the right approach in branching off into the more non-traditional market, which from a publishing point of view, may be the thing that saves them. Hmm. That you have this mixture of traditional superhero comics and then you have your child or kid, young adult, teen graphic novels that appeal to different demographics.
Well, you know, the problem that I see if AT&T shuttered the DC Comics side, the publication side, is that, quite frankly, Hollywood has run out of ideas. They ran out of ideas years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Either doing sequels of their old stuff or they're doing comic book, versions of movies.
And sometimes not very good versions.
Sometimes either. Not very good, yeah. Like
even if it's critically acclaimed, I still say not very good.
Yeah. So, you know, they'd be completely out of ideas. Well, not quite. I mean, Marvel is still around, I guess, but... You know, the DC lineup of superheroes still produced some pretty good movies. Wonder Woman, Aquaman was quite good. I liked Shazam. Not everybody did, but I liked Shazam quite a bit, even though I thought the story was wrong.
It's the modern version.
Yeah.
But, you know, Shazam was good.
Yep.
I liked it. I liked Birds of Prey. We just watched it again.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I liked that one. I think people blasted it too much. I think just sit back and watch the show. If you analyze it, look how it's written, how it's put together. You know, my kids keyed up on Birds of Prey and said, "Hey, this is all out of order." it's like you're in Harley Quinn's mind. It doesn't make sense. It's not linear. It jumps around so much. And I went, and I was like, "Yes, the plot." The structure of the film mirrors her insanity. I went, that's smart. But I agree with you, Todd. I mean, they have no good ideas anymore.
Nope.
I don't want a lot of hatred from Star Wars fans because I'm a devoted Star Wars fan and I love all the movies. I love every movie. Although I really didn't like the last one.
I haven't seen it yet, so no spoilers.
I'm not going to spoil it. I didn't care for it. I had to wait till it came on digital, watched it again, watched it.
Yeah.
From beginning to end and looked at it and critiqued it like how I analyze like a book or a piece of literature.
Yeah.
And just really broke it down. Flaws in writing. But I was like, okay, it has problems. It has a lot of problems. But it's a lot... There are some scenes in there that touched me so much, I cried. I really did cry. And I was like, you know what? This is not nearly as bad a movie as a lot of people say. It's not nearly as good a movie as it could have been.
Well, I was so angry at Star Wars 8 that I decided not to go see the movie, and I'm just waiting for it to hit Disney Plus.
What's Star Wars 8?
Whatever, the one before the last movie.
Oh, Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I love that movie.
Oh, I hate that movie.
I know. A lot of it divided the fandom like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
But I know why. I understand why people don't like it.
I really wanted to throw things at the movie screen when I went to see it.
I know. I mean, in some ways, I'm like, you know what? Just do Timothy Zahn's trilogy. Just do that. Just do Heir to the Empire, and everyone would be happy. Everyone would be happy. People don't like Star Wars. People like Star Wars.
Is that good?
Heir to the Empire?
Yeah.
Never read Heir to the Empire.
I've never read any of the Star Wars novels.
Okay, so read Heir to the Empire. Okay. It's a trilogy. It's by Timothy Zahn.
Yeah.
It was the first of the new books of Star Wars.
Okay.
Back in the 90s or something. My family, or my wife, bought me the hardcover of that as a gift. And I could not put that down. That Timothy Zahn understands Star Wars like almost no other person, maybe barring George Lucas and Filoni. Really.
Okay.
Truly. It is, the three books are phenomenal. They're really, really good. Now they're called Legends. They're not part of canon.
Uh-huh.
They're part of the Legends series of books. But it's, they're really, really good. I've read Heir to the Empire a couple times.
Okay.
I haven't reread the entire trilogy of books. It's there are surprises. It's on the seat. You feel like you're gripping on the seat.
Okay, Jay, you have forced me to use. Okay, I'm clicking now. I am just buying the whatchamacallit, the audible version of book one. So I'm doing it right now.
Well, who's the actor?
Who's the actor? Oh, I don't know. Let me look. Hang on. I just clicked buy. Narration by Mark Thompson.
Don't know who that is.
Yeah. Well, let me listen to it. Let me listen. Let's see. I don't think you can hear it, but can you hear that? No.
Nah.
Sounds good. I just listened to a sample. All right. So I'm going to click buy now. One credit. Confirm my purchase. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. You like audiobooks, yeah?
Oh, I love audiobooks. I have an annual subscription, so.
Oh, wow. I can, for some reason, I can listen to podcasts.
Yeah?
Really hard time with audiobooks. I don't know why.
Oh, no. I think they're wonderful. Not all readers are wonderful, but I have to say that the vast majority of the ones that I have bought, I've enjoyed, you know. And I think they've enriched the experience more than me reading the words on a piece of paper, because all of them are actors, essentially.
Mm.
And even if it's only one reader, I don't know if you've ever heard really good storytellers. I mean, you know, in person.
Not really.
There are some people who just tell stories, you know, in the traditional fashion, you know, like prior to electronic media. Mm. And actors are kind of like that, not exactly, but if you have a good actor who has, you know, a good grasp of the written material, and that's the job of the audio editor, they can really make a book, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, either one, really come to life.
You know what it's like then? It's like those old radio dramas.
Exactly.
Radio shows.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Except the radio shows often had more than one actor, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's a person that does all the voices, the narration.
Right.
And when a character talks, we'll do the different. I mean, I've heard an audiobook before, but I couldn't sustain my interest. I like reading the word, and then in my imagination, you know, what I think it would sound like. Oh, I don't know. That's what I enjoy.
I prefer the exact opposite, especially since, let me do it. There are two things, right? So sometimes when they pronounce words incorrectly, like in the Steve Jobs biography, they kept saying a couple of things incorrectly. It drove me wonky.
Oh.
On the other hand, sometimes when they clarify, like I remember when my daughter... So I read the first, I don't know, 5 or 6 Harry Potter novels aloud to my daughter when she was very young. Mm. And when it got to the 6th or 7th novel, I looked at the size of those things. I said, I'm not going to read... And plus, you're old now. And so I talked me talking to my daughter at that point. She was like 12 or something at this point. And I said, but I tell you what I'll do. I will buy the audiobook, which was then, I don't think it was an Audible. I think I had to buy CDs and rip them onto my phone. And we listened to them in the car. or probably an iPod, actually. We listened to them in my car, and I think, oh gosh, I can't remember the name of the American reader. Stephen Fry did the readings for the British editions. But any rate, is it, oh my goodness, I've been pronouncing Hermione's name wrong for the last, you know, 6 years or something. And the movies hadn't come out yet. So,
oh, okay.
So, you know, we had. But at any rate.
Oh, well, how are you pronouncing Hermione?
Gosh, I can't remember. I just remember it was wrong. I can't remember how I did it, but it was okay. Like, you know. Once I was corrected, it's okay. I will say it that way forever now.
Oh, okay. I mean, I can understand why people like it. I haven't been able to get into it yet. I thought about it. You know, the only one I listen to?
Yeah.
Because you can borrow audiobooks from the library, so sure. Electronically.
Yeah.
So I borrowed a book by Preet Bharara.
Oh.
He was that U.S. prosecutor.
Yeah. That was fired. Yeah.
Was fired.
Southern District of New York.
Yes. And now he has a podcast. So I listened to his podcast.
Yeah.
A lot. And then when I listened to his book, it was like, wow, this is just like his podcast.
Does he read it himself?
Huh?
Does he read the book himself?
Yeah. He wrote the book. And he reads the book. He is the narrator for his own book. Mm. And I think probably the reason why I really enjoyed it is because I think he has a pleasant voice to listen to on a podcast. And he's so sincere as a prosecutor and justice and, you know, looking at things in a way that makes sense that I enjoyed listening to him read the book more than I was trying to read the book on my own. Because it was like him just telling it's like we're talking about like a storyteller. He was telling stories of his own life, basically, what his experiences as an attorney.
Yeah.
So it seemed very real to me, but I haven't tried again. Maybe I will. I'm not a subscriber to Audible. I mean, I'll try and borrow another audiobook from.
Right.
Maybe nonfiction's easier for me. Versus fiction.
Yeah. Well, if you're a fan of musicians or something, like James Taylor has an autobiography he just put out that he reads himself. It's really short because it's only the first couple of years, or not of his career, but it's really well done.
Well, you see, that might be interesting because it's the person, it's his own life, and he's talking about it. So I'd like to hear that.
And it was free. I bought it because I didn't buy it. It was free last month. And so Audible, when you're an annual subscriber to Audible, you get like 2 free books a month.
Wow.
Short
not
ones.
Not bad.
Yeah, so this is
that's pretty good.
So James Taylor's was I think like 4 hours long. It's a short book. And it's called Break Shot, My First 21 Years by James Taylor, and it's read by James Taylor, and he sings on it too. He has some music on it too. And it's, you know, as a longtime James Taylor fan, I found it just fascinating.
Well, how much books cost what, $10 nowadays? Aren't they kind of expensive?
You mean like physical books or audiobooks or?
Yeah, wouldn't you have to pay like $10 to buy a book?
Well, again, I have a subscription, so I think I pay like $140 a year or something. So let's call it $145 a year for sake of argument. So what does that break down to? About $12 a month or something? The books themselves are, you know, $20-$30 if you buy them individually. So it's way cheaper to have a subscription and then use what's called a credit. So I get 12 credits a year, so I can buy 12 books a year, generally speaking.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, instead of paying, you know, $20 here and $30 here, I pay like, I forget myself. I don't even look at my subscription cost anymore because I get so much value out of it. I think it's about $140-something a year. So, you know, roughly $12 a month.
That's not too bad.
No. You know, it's cheaper than buying 3 comics.
Oh my God!
Right?
Yeah. Well, did you read those articles about DC? The word is the comics may jump up the price to $8.
See, and that's why I have Comixology Unlimited and DC Universes. I don't even want to deal with that. I can wait a year.
I know. That's what I realized. You know, when they did that issue, okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't. You know, let's see what happens. And then they started to post stuff. I was like, wow, I actually want to read this.
Yeah.
There's actually so much stuff on DC Universe that you can read.
You can't read it all.
It's impossible.
No.
They got to be in the thousands by now. Thousands of issues.
Yeah. Many thousands, not just a few thousand.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you could just like veg out through this whole shelter at home.
Yeah, if you could afford
comics,
it. Yeah.
Yeah, if you could. And you would never reach the end of it. It'd be like nuts.
Absolutely true.
And they have like every kind of comic. It's like whatever you want, you can find a comic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a wonderful time to be a comic book fan in the sense of being able to get and find things. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, I used to save up my money, and there was a comic book shop in someplace in New Jersey. I can't remember what it was called, but it was pretty famous back in the day. And I'd, you know, save up my money, and I'd buy back issues of Missing Comics and things like that. And, you know, it'd take months, you know, weeks or months to get here sometimes. And sometimes I just couldn't find it, and I didn't know why. But now, and I still can't find some. There's a Legion of Superheroes issue, part two of the Adult Legion of Superheroes. That's not on DC Universe or Comixology, for whatever reason. Part one is.
What era is that?
This is 1960s. And it's like Legion of Superheroes, well, you know, Adventure Comics, right? But
yeah, it was when they were still in Adventure, right?
Yeah. So, but anyway, so I don't know how the story ends. I never have, you know, after many, many decades. But that said, you know, almost everything else is there. So it's very cool. And I hope I live long enough to finish some of my favorite series. And, you know, I say that in jest, but the way the world is today, you know, it's, you don't know.
No, you don't.
You just don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was telling people, I was telling my family, you know, maybe, I shouldn't say it's a silver lining, maybe this will give people a chance to take a step back and look at the world and see where we are and then make a lot of changes.
Well, I've heard other people say that too, you know, various folks in the media and people around me. So you're certainly not the only, you're not weird thinking that, in my opinion.
Because I'm thinking, why do we need a 24-hour long? Nothing against longs, but why do you need it to be open 24 hours?
Well, Walmart has cut back, right? They're no longer 24 hours.
Yeah. Why do you have to be 24 hours? I'm going.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seemed to work before everything was 24 hours.
Yeah.
It was like, maybe that's what we should go back to, how it used to be.
Well, you know, if you haven't already, and we're getting a little bit of far afield, but I will, before we cut off this podcast, I will say this. I will make a plug. If you have Netflix, and I think you do, go, and you haven't seen the Ronnie Chang comedy special.
I did.
Oh, yeah. He talks about this, right?
Prime?
Yeah.
Prime now.
Amazon Prime now.
Not big enough. Prime before. Yeah. Before I even want it, put it into my mouth. So
not that he needs our marketing for him, but it's pretty funny.
Oh, Ronnie Chang, he is hilarious.
Yep.
He is hilarious. He is so good. I agree with you. Everyone, you're at home, go watch Netflix and watch Ronnie Chang.
Yep. He's amazing. All right, so that's been Comics Views Podcast 110. It's been like 6 weeks in between, how the world, with a capital W, has changed in those 6 weeks. I quite frankly don't recognize it anymore.
No, it's transformative.
Okay.
It's completely transformative.
Okay, so there we go, folks. We'll hopefully we'll see you a little bit sooner than another 6 weeks. But Comics Views Podcast 110. We'll talk to you next time.